Yes, our dogs are enjoying a much needed weekend off before the cocktail party gets underway. Because last weekend was woof, pun intended. That was a pearl clutching game. Talk about all that and more on Chris Thomas tonight with you till 4 o'clock. We will get back into the Kirk Cousins news at the top of the hour. If you missed it, he is highly likely, according to ESPN, to be the starter tomorrow. Right now, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our buddy Jeremy Johnson of Dogs HQ. Jeremy, let's start with that game before we look ahead to what's going on next weekend. Did you expect that game to be as back and forth as it was in such a high-flying affair?
I think I expected the unexpected, and I expected it to be somehow, some way to be crazy, and that's what it was. And I don't know if I expected the score to be as high as it was. You know, I don't think Georgia punted and Ole Miss punted once. Like, that wasn't what I expected out of that game. But, you know, that's kind of the theme with this Georgia team so far. You just never know what's going to happen. And so far to this point, they're seeming to be able to come out on top, you know, more times than not.
What have you made of, or what did you make of Gunnar Stockton's effort in that game? It put him on the map for a Heisman in certain people's eyes.
Yeah, I think that's was my takeaway, is I thought, you know, hey, this dude, I mean, he answered the bell big time, because, you know, that game without his performance probably gets out of hand, and, you know, Georgia never really stops Ole Miss, and we're having a completely different talk here this week about just what's wrong with this defense and what's wrong with this Georgia team is what the conversation is. And I think that's what, you know, the Heisman Trophy and, you know, someone who's been considered for it is supposed to be. You know, it's supposed to be the guy who changes the outcome of a game. And, you know, it's been a while since I've seen a performance. I mean, he had a great performance against Tennessee, but this one felt even more efficient and it felt more timely and it just felt calm. Like, it was like he didn't really ever seem rattled. He didn't really ever seem like it was too big. And, you know, he had a great performance. It was one for the ages for sure.
You mentioned the defense, obviously a couple of games, this one, the Tennessee game that you talked about, not the performances we're used to under a Kirby Smart defense. What's going on there, in your opinion? Why isn't the defense as dominant as it has been in the last couple of years? Is it just quality of personnel, or is it something else?
You know, I think it's a mixture of a few things. I think it's the youth. There's a lot of young teams. I mean, young players on this team. And, you know, when you come out and you haven't seen some of this stuff before, it's a shock to the system. I mean, Auburn did a good job of game planning for Georgia. They had 2 weeks to prepare, and they had some things that hadn't been practiced. I mean, they came out with completely new concepts. Ole Miss, you know, that was just an offense that was running really well, and it was a well-oiled machine when it got to Athens. So, you know, they kind of hit Georgia in the mouth, and, you know, late in that game, they kind of figured it out. But I really think it's the youth. I mean, that's my best answer. I mean, I think the talent is there. There's clearly some really good football players still in Athens and on that defense. And it would be one thing if in the fourth quarter they were unable to just do it, but they were able to all of a sudden look like a really good defense over the last 15 minutes of that game on Saturday. So, you know, to me, that kind of signals, hey, there is something here. It's just a matter of how do you get it to wake up early and to be a 60-minute unit like it once was. I think the best is yet to come there. You know, you would like to say, you know, as someone who's kind of watching this team trying to become a complete team and be able to go compete for a national championship, that's where the question mark still lies, is just what is that defense going to be? And, you know, can they put it together for 60 minutes?
How big is the injury to Kobe Young?
It's huge. It's huge. If it were, I mean, there's a lot of players on this offense and in this receiver room that, you know, are interchangeable, and, you know, they've been able to build some depth, but that he was the one guy that, you know, he can block. He's a big play guy. He catches the football really well. He's really tough after the tackle. I mean, after the catch, that was one of the things that, you know, kind of had started to separate him with his ability with the football to be able to be physical with the ball. And, they have some guys. Noah Thomas is the first name that comes to mind. He's 6'5", 205. He's a very similar build guy. He hadn't done it at Georgia yet. So, you know, you just never know what's going to happen there. Obviously, some younger guys, C.J. Watt is a freshman that, you know, we can see more of. And guys like Dylan Bell and London Humphreys will get their opportunities at that spot as well. But it's a huge loss. I don't know that it changes the way Georgia does offense. I do think it hurts just in terms of, hey, here's the one, you know, this guy is a sure thing. We kind of know exactly what he is and what to expect from him.
Do you think it's important next weekend for the cocktail party for Georgia to put a stomping on Florida, or is a win a win a win?
A win is a win is a win is a win, especially in that game. I mean, to me, if I'm, you know, I'm someone, if, you know, a coach or someone who is, you know, representing the University of Georgia, I am scared to death of this game just because, first of all, I don't think this Florida team is what the record and perception of it is. It's a team that's coming off, you know, just firing its head coach. That has nothing to do with the talent that is on that roster, especially defensively. I do not expect this to be a game where Georgia just runs over Florida. I don't think that's going to be the case. It's going to be a dogfight. They've got 2 weeks to prepare. You don't know who's calling the plays. You don't know who's the coach. You don't know what kind of scheme they're going to be running. This is you just get in Jacksonville and you got to come back with a win any way you can, because this is a very dangerous football game.
Speaking of Florida, what direction for their next guy do you think makes the most sense? Are they going to try to go get a big name, big money guy, or are they going to try to get a hot new young shot?
I mean, I think they're going to go with somebody established and someone that everyone knows, because, you know, they just tried, you know, the guy kind of, you know, Billy Napier was a coach at Louisiana who was well-respected in the industry and well-respected on the coaching ranks, and he's a really good football coach. But, you know, I think Florida's at that place where, all right, you know, this job needs to continue to be a good job. So maybe you go try to make the splash this time. You know, everyone keeps throwing out Lane Kiffin. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I think that's the kind of caliber of guy you're talking about at Florida. I mean, that's a very proud program. That's a program rooted right in the middle of a very fertile area to recruit. So it's a really good opportunity for some coach. And I don't know how you keep telling them no. You know, if you're, you know, a coach looking to step up to that elite echelon. And I think, you know, it's a very intriguing opportunity around the industry for sure.
You think a coach like Jeff Brohm, after what he did versus Miami and the program he's built there at Louisville the past couple of years, you think he's a guy that could find his way into the SEC next season?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a guy that's got a lot of juice. I mean, some of these guys in the South really, you know, just on the recruiting end, just having talked to some players and recruits, they really seem to like his energy. And that's where it starts. I mean, we just talked about Lane Kiffin. You know, I guess he's on my mind because I'm kind of watching that game. But, you know, that energy that he brings really attracts these young guys. And I think Brohm's a guy that has he has that trait about him. You put him in a good place that, you know, is willing to kind of let him be himself and let him run the program the way he wants to. I think you're talking about another guy that could be on that ascension, because Louisville's playing really good football and they've really recruited really well in the portal and then just in high school as well.
Before I let you go, if LSU loses tonight, is Brian Kelly done?
Maybe. I mean, it's a very real conversation. I mean, you can't really, you know, you look at that Clemson win at the beginning of the year, everyone thought that was a huge deal and that was going to send LSU off into to orbit. And it has not happened. And that's been the case for the last couple of years since he's been there. You know, he's a good coach and, you know, there's some really good players on that team. And I think LSU is a place that expects to compete for championships. They're not expecting to be, you know, on the cusp of making the playoffs and, you know, ranked 20 in the mid-20s. That's just not their expectation level. And you don't meet that, you know, enough. And, hey, you're there. And if LSU loses tonight, they're probably going to be unranked going into the second half of the season. And that's not acceptable in that organization, I'm sure.
Jeremy, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of the games tonight and enjoy the bye week for UGA. We'll get back at it next week and we'll chat soon.
All right. I appreciate you. Have a good one.